فصل completed the salah. Let us try and come close to inshallah.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. ألم نشرح لك صدرك. صدق الله العظيم.
While Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was staying in Makkah Mukarrama, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had endured great difficulties, great opposition from the side of the disbelievers. And this had caused Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam immense grief, and it caused his morale to be low. Just for us to understand some of the difficulties and hardships that he went through, some of the difficulties were in the form of physical difficulties, where thorns were strewn in the path of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, where entrails of camels were placed on the Mubarak blessed back of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam while he was in salah. At times he was even assaulted, at times he was even strangled. So these were some physical persecutions that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had went through. Together with this, they even targeted his children, where the two blessed daughters of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam were divorced, just in order to cause pain and difficulty to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So like this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went through these hardships and difficulties, which caused his morale to be low. Together with this, we find on the occasion when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went to Ta'if in order to call them to deen so that they will be able, he will find some support through them. He was greeted with stones that were thrown onto him to such an extent his Mubarak shoes became clogged with his Mubarak blood. So like this, these were different difficulties that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had went through. In order to console Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and in order to give him encouragement, Allah Ta'ala revealed two surahs, and these surahs were in a form of encouragement for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to raise up his morale. These two surahs, Surah Duha and Surah Alam Nashrah. In these surahs, Allah Ta'ala makes mention of some special favors that Allah Ta'ala had blessed upon Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And in order to remind Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that even though he is going through some difficulty and hardship, that do not forget the favors of Allah Ta'ala upon him. And in the same way, in the same token, when we are going through some form of hardship, some form of difficulty, and when the morale is low because of the recent lockdown and other situations, then we also need to remind ourselves of the different favors of Allah Ta'ala upon us. Now in this first verse of Surah Alam Nashrah, Allah Ta'ala says, Alam Nashrah Laka Sadrak, that did we not expand for you your chest? This is the first favor that Allah Ta'ala makes mention of to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, did we not expand for you your chest? So ulama explain different meanings that can be found in the expansion of the chest. One is with regards to the knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that Allah Ta'ala had blessed Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with such a wide heart, or such an expanded heart, that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was able to encompass so much of knowledge, so much of the knowledge of the heavens of the earth, the ability to recognize the being and the sifat, the qualities of Allah Ta'ala. Like this, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was able to comprehend the different verses of the Qur'an-i Majeed. He was able to remember it. He was able to give it off to others. He was able to comprehend it. The meanings of the verses of the Qur'an-i Majeed, the different masail that are used from it. So like this, the knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was increased. And Allah Ta'ala had expanded his Mubarak chest to be able to encompass all these different knowledge, the different knowledge that Allah Ta'ala had blessed him with. So this is one meaning. A second meaning is the expansion of the chest refers to the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was blessed with immense tolerance. That no matter what hindrances came upon his path, no matter what difficulties and hardships came upon his path, he remained firm upon his work. He remained firm upon what he needed to do. He did not allow these different hurdles, these different obstacles to take him off his path. He endured whatever came upon him with tolerance, with endurance. So this is hilm, tolerance that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was blessed with. A third meaning that ulama explain with regards to the expansion of the chest is that a person, no matter how much of pressure he may be under, no matter how many different the difficulty of the situation upon him, but he is able to make decisions very easily with a clear frame of mind. And if you look into the Mubarak life of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we will find this in numerous occasions when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to make difficult decisions, sensitive decisions. Yet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, without any hesitation, with an extremely clear mind, was able to make these decisions, and he was able to take the ummah upon the right path. So these are different meanings. Ulama even explain another meaning with regards to the expansion of the chest. That ulama explained, he could even refer to the physical splitting open of the Mubarak chest of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. That the angels had come to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they split open his Mubarak chest. Now this ulama explained had taken place on four occasions. The first occasion when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was still a child in the care of Halima Sa'diya radiallahu ta'ala anha. He was approximately 4 years old. Hazrat Jibreel alayhi salam and Mikael alayhi salam, they had come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. They had split open his chest, and thereafter they even split open his heart, and they removed one or two clots of blood, and they said, "This is the share of Shaitan." What does this refer to? That this refers to that clot of blood, or that is that part which is found within a person's heart, which would incline him towards sin. So here when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was still a small child, this inclination or these clots of blood were completely removed from him. And his Mubarak heart was washed in Zamzam and it was returned into his body. And his body, and it was then stitched up. Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum used to even see the stitches on the Mubarak chest of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was the first occasion when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was approximately 4 years old. Then when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was 10 years old, again the splitting of the chest had taken part and had taken place. And here ulama explain that inclination towards idle activities, to vain pursuits, to entertainment, this was removed from the Mubarak heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was 40 years, when Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had received nubuwwat, at this time also the splitting of the chest had taken place to prepare the Mubarak heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for the burden of wahi that was going to come upon him. And the fourth occasion where the splitting of the chest had taken place was on the occasion of Mi'raj, in order to prepare the Mubarak heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to meet Allah Ta'ala. So these are the different explanations that are given with regards to the expanding of the chest of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. In the next two verses, Allah Ta'ala says, وَوَضَعْنَا عَنْكَ وِزْرَكَ الَّذِي أَنْقَضَ ظَهْرَكَ. And we removed from you your burden that weighed down heavily upon your back. Now ulama explain with regards to the burden that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was given such a task, such a difficult task, that no other person was given such a task. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, one meaning of the burden is the burden of the wahi, the physical burden of the wahi that Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to receive. The burden of the wahi was such, if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to be seated on a camel and the camel was standing, if Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to receive wahi at that time, because of the weight of the wahi, the camel will be forced to sit down. Physical burden, the weight of the wahi was great. In fact, Allah Ta'ala makes mention in the Quran Majid, لو أنزلنا هذا القرآن على جبل لرأيته خاشعا متصدعا من خشية الله. If this Quran had to be revealed on a mountain, the mountain also would be crushed into pieces. Yet this the Mubarak heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was able to receive the wahi from the side of Allah. And together with this, the burden that was placed upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was the burden of passing on this message of deen to the entire ummah. Yet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when the work of nubuwwat had started, where was he? He was in Makkah Mukarramah, which at that time the people were steeped in idol worship. The people were involved in the worst of sins, in shamelessness, in immorality. Just for us to understand some examples, when making tawaf of the Kaaba, they used to make tawaf naked. When they had a habit of burying their own daughters alive. Like this, these are just some examples of the type of immorality, the type of shamelessness, the type of evil deeds these people were engaged in. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was tasked to come to them, to give them deen, and make them such that these same people will now take this deen from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and pass it on to the rest of the ummah. Basically, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to make them leaders for deen. So this was the task of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he had to teach deen to the entire mankind in order for this deen to remain till the day of qiyamah. So وَوَضَعْنَا عَنْكَ وِزْرَكَ الَّذِي أَنْقَضَ ظَهْرَكَ. So Allah Ta'ala says, we made this work easy for you. We removed this burden from you. Hence Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was able to accomplish these difficult tasks. These tasks which may seem to be impossible, yet Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was able to accomplish it. وَوَضَعْنَا عَنْكَ وِزْرَكَ الَّذِي أَنْقَضَ ظَهْرَكَ. This was the second favor of Allah Ta'ala upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The third favor that Allah Ta'ala speaks about, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. And we raised for you your name. We raised for you your name. In one hadith it is mentioned, once Jibreel alayhi salam had come, and he says, I'm coming from the side of Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala is asking that, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, do you know how we raised your name? So Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replies, Allah Ta'ala knows best. So Jibreel alayhi salam says, from the side of Allah, إِذَا ذُكِّبْتُ ذُكِّبْتَ مَعِي أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ. That Allah Ta'ala says, whenever my name is mentioned, your name is mentioned with my name. Whenever my name is mentioned, your name is mentioned with my name. Such a lofty status was given to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that his Mubarak name is taken in the east, in the west, in the north and the south. In fact, we can say not a second passes. In the world, no one is taking the Mubarak name of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Millions around the world will take honor to name their children after Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Continuously, perpetually, people are sending durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So much of honor Allah Ta'ala has blessed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with. Together with this, at the time of adhan and iqamah, at the time when a person is giving a khutbah and the different upon the members of the masajid, at that time also a person will take the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So when a person is being called for salah in adhan and in iqamah, the mubarak name of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is taken. Not only that, even when a person is communicating with Allah Ta'ala in salah as well in tashahud, he will take the mubarak name of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Such a lofty status Allah Ta'ala had blessed Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam with. So these three favors Allah Ta'ala makes mention of. First one, sharhu sadrin. Second one, wad'u wizrin. Third one, raf'u dhikrin. Allah Ta'ala speaks about the expansion of the chest, the removal of the burden, and the raising of the mubarak name of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Here in all these three verses, Allah Ta'ala says, we had done this exclusively for you, O Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah Ta'ala did not say, alam nashrah sadrak. Had we not expanded your chest? Alam nashrah laka sadrak. That, O Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, have we not expanded your chest for you? These were all exclusive favors for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The expansion of the chest, the removal of the burden, the raising of the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So on the one hand, Allah Ta'ala had placed upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam a great responsibility. The responsibility of receiving wahi and passing it on to the rest of the ummah till the end of time. But together with that, Allah Ta'ala made the task of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam easy for him. Allah Ta'ala had not left Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that now go and fulfill this task. Allah Ta'ala showing the love that Allah Ta'ala had for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he put the task upon him. But Allah Ta'ala even made the task for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam easy for him. Thus we also need to understand the great favor of Allah Ta'ala upon us by making us from the ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We are no ordinary ummat. Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linas. You are the best of ummats. Why are you the best of ummats? Not because of any good that you and I possess, but because we attribute ourselves as being from the ummatis of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now how do we show thanks? How do we show thanks to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam for being, for showing us the right path? How do we show thanks for us being part of the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? So four important points. First and foremost, from the depth of our hearts, we should understand with firm conviction that whatever we have from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the best for us. رَضِيْتُ بِاللَّهِ رَبَّا وَبِالْإِسْلَامِ دِينَ وَبِمُحَمَّدٍ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمْ رَسُولًا وَنَبِيًّا. We are pleased with Allah Ta'ala as our Rabb, with Islam as our Deen, and with Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as our Messenger. Hence we wholeheartedly submit ourselves before the commands of Allah Ta'ala and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We do not find any faults, we do not lay any objections. In today's times, whether it is upon us or sometimes even upon our children, when they are attacking upon our iman, when iman is coming in danger, many a times they will attack us via the medium of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Na'udhu billah, Allah Ta'ala protect us. So first of all, we submit ourselves completely to the commands of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Secondly, as far as possible, as much as we can, we inculcate within our lives the Mubarak Sunnah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We follow his ways. He was the beloved of Allah Ta'ala. He was the beloved of Allah Ta'ala. We are not going to get close to Allah Ta'ala by following any other way besides the Mubarak way of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we emulate him in all aspects of our lives. And the third point is that we make a concerted effort daily to recite from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam by reading an authentic kitab. One example, Siratul Mustafa of Mulana Idris Kandelwi rahimahullah. Just one example. But we make an effort to daily read from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam so that it will be able to enhance our love for Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And fourthly, we make an effort to recite abundant durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam daily. At least 100 times daily we should start off by reciting durood upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It is a means of us earning the love of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the means of us earning immense thawab and reward in the court of Allah Ta'ala. So this is the blessing of being from the ummah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now in these verses, these first three verses, Allah Ta'ala spoke about the favors that Allah Ta'ala had blessed upon Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Why in the face of difficulty and hardship, in the face when a person's morale is low, then when a person remembers the favors, then it will make those difficulties easy. In the same way, when we find ourselves in any form of difficulty and hardship, then we should remember at all times, definitely the favors of Allah Ta'ala upon us are even more. Although we may find some difficulty, some hardship, we may be going through some patch in our lives, but at all times, remember the immense favors of Allah Ta'ala upon us, by us concentrating on the favors and not paying attention to the difficulty, it will make those difficulties easy upon us. In fact, in Surah Al-Adiyat, when Allah Ta'ala speaks about the horses of war, and Allah Ta'ala speaks about their loyalty, that when a master will command it to go into the midst of the battle, it is willing to sacrifice its life for the sake of the master. Thereafter Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودٍ. Allah Ta'ala is the one who blessed insan with everything. Allah Ta'ala is the one who blessed him with health, with wealth, with whatever he possesses, it is from the side of Allah. The horse is able to show loyalty to its master because of little bit of food. When Allah Ta'ala is blessing insan with so much, can't insan show that amount of loyalty to Allah Ta'ala? إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لِرَبِّهِ لَكَنُودٍ. Indeed, insan is ungrateful to his Rabb. What is the meaning of kanud? Some mufassirin explain, يَعُدُّ الْمَصَائِبِ وَيَنْسَ النِّعَمِ. That a person, he will count the calamities that befall him. He will remember the calamities, but he will forget the blessings of Allah Ta'ala upon him. He will forget the blessings of Allah Ta'ala upon him. So let us not be from that group of people. Let us always concentrate and pay attention to the different favors of Allah Ta'ala upon us. Thereafter Allah Ta'ala says, فَإِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّمَا الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. That verily, with ease, with difficulty comes ease. Verily, with difficulty comes ease. This verse is repeated. So Mufassirin explain that when the word al-usr, the difficulty, is something which is specified, what we know as ma'rifah, when it is repeated, when it is mentioned the second time, it refers to the same difficulty. So the total number of difficulties we're speaking about is only one. And when the word yusr is mentioned in the nakira form, what we say unspecified, when it is repeated, when it is mentioned again for the second time, then because it is unspecified, it refers to a different form of ease. So how many difficulties? In these two verses, we only have one difficulty. But we have many different forms of ease. So Allah Ta'ala is telling us, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. With that one difficulty, there is abundant ease. Yusra, some mufassirin even explain that the tanween is coming to show a great number. That one difficulty has great number of ease. And again, the second verse, that same difficulty has another great number of ease. So what does it mean? That with difficulty comes ease. So some ulama explain that it could refer to at the time of the difficulty itself, a person will experience some ease. So just to take a simple example, a person has some illness on his body. For example, he has a headache. Now that headache is there on his body, but it is only on one part of his body. He still has ease in the rest of his body. Where his rest of his body is able to take those means in order to remove that difficulty from his head. So whether it refers to taking some medication, whether it refers to him being able to go to a doctor, or whether it refers to the ease that he has people around him who is able to tend to him and is able to take care of him. So these different forms of ease will be found with that difficulty. It just requires a person to ponder and reflect what are those eases in his life. And ulama also explained that he could refer to the ease coming after the difficulty. After the period of difficulty, there will come ease. But what is important, in order for a person to receive this, that at the time of difficulty, he follows the correct procedures, what is required and what we are taught by Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Meaning a person places his trust upon Allah Ta'ala. A person makes dua to Allah Ta'ala for ease. A person begs Allah Ta'ala for afiyah. And a person places his trust in Allah Ta'ala. Then if a person adopts these means, at the time of the difficulty, he adopts sabr and patience, then inshallah, after that difficulty, he will find that ease. He will find that ease after that difficulty. So, فَإِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا إِنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. So this is something for us to ponder over, something for us to reflect, that at a time of difficulty, although we may find a period of difficulty coming upon us, but definitely a time of ease will also come. That is why the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala amongst themselves also they understood this. On one occasion, Abu Ubaidah radiallahu ta'ala, who was the leader of the Muslim army, he wrote to Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala regarding the great number of the kuffar. The great number of the kuffar who they are facing in jihad. So Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala wrote back to him and told him that if a person goes through some difficulty, definitely thereafter Allah Ta'ala will place a way out for him. وَإِنَّهُ لَيَغْلِبَ عُسْرٌ يُسْرَيْنِ. And one difficulty will never overpower two eases. One difficulty will never overpower two eases. The poet mentions also, he says, إِذَا اشْتَدَّتْ بِكَ الْبَلْوَى فَفَكِّرْ فِي أَلَمْ نَشْرَهِ فَالْعُصْرُ بَيْنَ يُسْرَيْنِ إِذَا فَكَّرْتَهُ فَفْرَحْ. He says, when the times go tough for you, when you are going through some type of difficulty and hardship, then ponder over the contents of Surah Alam Nashrah.
for usrun bayna yusrin, because one difficulty is found between two eases. The ease is always there. إِذَا فَكَّرْتَهُ فَفْرَحْ, and when you have pondered over it, then be happy and pleased with the decision of Allah Ta'ala upon you. Thereafter Allah Ta'ala says, at the end, the last two verses, Allah Ta'ala gives the prescription of how to overcome these difficulties and hardships. What is the means for a person, if he is going through hardship and difficulty, what is the means for him to overcome it? What is the means for him to combat those difficulties and hardships? Allah Ta'ala says, فَإِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَارْغَبْ. That, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you have completed your task, and now you are free, فَانْصَبْ, then tire yourself in the worship of Allah, وَإِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ فَارْغَبْ, and wholeheartedly turn towards your Rabb, wholeheartedly turn towards Allah Ta'ala. So in these verses, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was tasked with teaching the ummah deen. He was tasked to make sure the sahaba radiallahu ta'ala and the ummah at large learn deen, and together with that he had to propagate deen, together with that he had to reform the ummah around him. So these were the tasks of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and these are also known as deeni works. However, these can be referred to as indirect ibadat. Indirect ibadat. And these were what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was busy with during the day. So Allah Ta'ala is saying that, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when you have completed these indirect forms of worship, now engage yourself, tire yourself in direct forms of worship. Meaning now perform abundant salah, now make dhikr, make dua to Allah Ta'ala. These are all forms of direct ibadat. So what we understand from this, that a person can complete or be free from indirect forms of ibadat where he has to interact with the creation. However, when it comes to his direct form of ibadat, when it comes to his salah, when it comes to his dhikr, when it comes to his dua to Allah Ta'ala, here Allah Ta'ala does not say he can free himself from it. This is the purpose for a person's creation. A person with its direct form of ibadat, he cannot say he is free. Rather, Allah Ta'ala says, fansab, tire yourself. Tire yourself in the worship of Allah Ta'ala. And this we find in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to stand up for tahajjud salah, he used to stand up for so long that the mubarak feet of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to become swollen. So here Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to tire himself. But what Allah Ta'ala is telling us, what is the prescription here? That at the time of difficulty and hardship, at the time when you are faced with any type of calamity, etc., this is the means in order for you to come, in order for you to be removed from the difficulty, that you turn towards Allah Ta'ala and you focus your attention towards Him. Unfortunately, our habit is such. إِذَا فَرَغْتَ فَانْصَبْ. Our understanding or our habit is that when we complete our ibadat, when we complete our salah, then فَانْصَبْ, instead of us tiring ourselves in other ibadat, instead of us tiring ourselves in direct ibadat with Allah, we are now tiring ourselves in entertainment. We are completing our ibadat, completing our salah, our tilawat, etc., just so that we can now give the rest of our time to amusing ourselves, to entertainment, to idle activities, etc. This will not be the means of us getting relieved from these difficulties and hardships. In these verses, Allah Ta'ala is giving us the divine prescription that if you want to get relief from difficulties and hardships, the way is that a person will turn towards Allah Ta'ala. He will focus his attention towards Him, and he will make sure he asks Allah Ta'ala for all his needs. If you look into the life of Hazrat Yaqub alayhi salam, when he was extremely grieved with the separation from Hazrat Yusuf alayhi salam, he did not turn to anyone else. He turned to Allah Ta'ala in dua, إِنَّمَا أَشْكُوا بَثِّي وَحُزْنِي إِلَى اللَّهِ. I lay my complaint, my anguish, my grief, I lay it before Allah Ta'ala. We find Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself on the occasion of Ta'if, when he was chased out. At that time he turns towards Allah Ta'ala and he makes dua. Allahumma inni ashku ilayka du'fa quwwati wa qillat hilati. That, O Allah, I complain to you alone. I complain to you alone about my weak condition, about the weakness of my means. Similarly, we find in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, whenever any difficult condition came upon him, whenever any type of grief, any type of hardship, إِذَا حَزَبَهُ أَمْرٌ فَزِعَ إِلَى الصَّلَاءُ كَمَا قَالَ Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when any difficulty came upon him, whenever any type of hardship came before him, faziya ila salah, he used to hasten towards salah. He used to hasten towards turning towards Allah Ta'ala. So this is the means for us to gain salvation, and the means for us to remove these difficulties and hardships from our lives. So just to recap very quickly, the three favors Allah Ta'ala speaks about in Alam Nashrah. The first favor Allah Ta'ala speaks about is the expansion of the Mubarak chest of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ulama give different explanations. One is with regards to the knowledge of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. One is with regards to the conduct, the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And also some ulama explain that it refers to the clear mind with which Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was able to pass decisions, and it even refers to the physical splitting of the chest of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This was the first favor. The second favor was Allah Ta'ala had removed the burden from the back of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He was given the huge and gigantic task of bringing the ummah upon deen, of showing them the path of deen, of bringing them upon the path of Islam. This great burden that was placed upon him, Allah Ta'ala had made it easy upon him, and he removed that burden from him. The third favor, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ, Allah Ta'ala had raised the Mubarak name of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that whenever the name of Allah Ta'ala is taken in the world, a person will take the name of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam as well, when he is reciting the kalima, when he is accepting Islam, at the time of shahada, at the time of adhan, at the time of khutbah, at the time of iqamah, in salah as well, a person will take the Mubarak name of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Thereafter Allah Ta'ala tells Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and tells us as the ummah as well, that with difficulty comes ease, and not just one ease with one difficulty will come two ease, in fact even more than that, more ease will come with just that one difficulty. We need to ponder and understand and reflect over the different eases that we have in our lives, although we may be facing some difficulty. Thereafter, in the end, Allah Ta'ala explains the divine prescription in which a person will be able to overcome difficulties and hardships, and that is, you turn towards Allah Ta'ala, you direct your attention towards Allah Ta'ala, and Allah Ta'ala will remove all forms of difficulties and hardships from our lives. May Allah Ta'ala grant all of us tawfiq wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Subhanallah bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma bihamdik, nashhadu an la ilaha illa anta, nastaghfiruka wa natubu ilayk. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا مولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم مما هو أهله سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين.